I would like to ask for your prayers today. As always, I need the Lord's help. I want to do nothing more than share with you today the things that He's placed upon my heart. I want to share with you today a familiar scripture reading. I believe that will be familiar to most everyone here today. And if you would like to read with me, I'd ask you to turn to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. And I'd like to begin reading there with the 10th verse. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus. And he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." That's reading from verse 10 through verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6 for a scripture reading. And I would like to speak today about fighting the good fight. The Apostle Paul here in these verses that I have read from his writing to the church at Ephesus, there are some facts that I believe that are established in this, and I would like to try to speak about them today. But in our lives, in the Lord's church, and as individual members of His church, there comes a time or times in our lives where it's necessary for us to stand. It's necessary for us to stand. And in serving the Lord, there's more to being His servants and being His church than for us to just assemble. And you know, as it's been mentioned here today, what a grand blessing that it really is for us to have the privilege and the freedom to assemble here today and to worship the Lord the way that we believe is right. That is a great blessing. But certainly there's more that we are required to do than just assemble together from week to week and come together in our worship services. There are times in serving the Lord that we must be willing to stand for the Lord. We must be willing to defend the Lord and defend what is right. And the Apostle Paul made that plain here in his writing to the church at Ephesus. He said, after you have done all to stand, stand therefore. And so there are times when we must do that, when we must take a stand. Now, the other thing that the Apostle Paul spoke about, or one of the other things that he spoke about in these verses that I've read, is he made it plain in this writing to the Ephesian church who it is that we are really fighting against. And he also spoke about the way that the fight must be done, the way that we, when we're going to be called upon to make a stand, there is a right way that the church has to stand. And so I want to speak about those things before you today. Now, one of the things that the Apostle Paul mentioned here was that we need to be sure that we have on all of the armor. He didn't tell us that we need to put on part of it. He said we need to put on the whole armor of God. And, you know, things in the days that the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, there were things that were going on, and there were things that they were having to face that we're not facing right now. There were things that they were facing in their day that we may yet see in our lives, but there were things that they were having to face, that things that they were having to stand against, that you know, the things of today are not exactly like they were in their day. But nevertheless, I believe that this teaching was good for them, and it has been good for the Lord's churches throughout all time, that this wasn't just something that the church at Ephesus needed to do. It's something that the Lord's churches of today need to do as well. And so we need to have on the whole armor of God. Now, he said the reason for us to do this, after Paul said to them, put on the whole armor of God, he goes right ahead and he tells them the reason for doing that, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, something that has never changed since the very beginning of time, since the Garden of Eden, there has always been a struggle. There has always been a warfare throughout all the history of time between the forces of good and the forces of evil. That is something that has always been, and it's still going on today. And to make it more plain, there has always it has always been that Satan has always battled against God. He has always waged war against the Lord. And we see that in the lives of Adam and Eve. We see how that the devil came along to the first people on the earth. He came along and he approached them with his deceptive ways and his subtle ways and, you know, his craftiness, and tried to get them to turn away from what God had told them and to listen to him. And he's been doing that ever since. And sadly enough, throughout all ages, there have been many that have fallen into his snares. And rather than listening to the Lord, they listen to the devil. And that's still going on today. And so the Apostle Paul said that the reason for us to put on the whole armor of God is that we might be able to stand against the one that really is the enemy, and that's the devil. And he goes on and he says, it's not a flesh and blood war. He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, we need to always remember that any evil that we try to stand against, that any time that we find ourselves in a situation where we know that the only right thing for us to do is to stand up for the Lord and to stand up for his word, we need to always remember that when we are trying to stand against anything that's evil, that the force behind that evil is the devil himself. He is the, you know, he is really ultimate evil. It was mentioned this morning, God is so good, and he is. God's ultimately good. He's better than anybody. God is love, and he is ultimate love. And, you know, the devil is just ultimate evil. He really is. That's all that he's about is evil. All he wants to do are evil things. And we know that he works very hard at that. And we know that the Apostle Peter said he is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The Apostle Peter said, we have an adversary, the devil. And we do. We, the Lord's people today, we have a great adversary, and that adversary is Satan. And he is that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so the Apostle Paul made it plain when he wrote this to the church at Ephesus that their battle was not with flesh and blood, but it was against the wickedness of the devil. It was against principalities. It was against powers. It was against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It was against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so the devil is the root of those very things. Now, another thing that is so interesting in this is that he told them, after he told them to put on the whole armor of God, that he explained to them. He didn't just leave them in the dark. He explained to them step by step what the whole armor of God actually is. He told them, you need to put on this, and you need to put on this, and you need to have this, and you need to have that. And so we need to make sure that not only that we arm ourselves, but that we arm ourselves properly with the proper armor. Remember when David went out to fight Goliath, and King Saul wanted to give David his armor, and David said, well, I can't take this. I've not proved this. But I'll tell you what, the armor of God, his people have proven it throughout the history of the church time and time and time again, and it works. It works. And so we need to be sure that we use all that the Lord has given us, that we put on the whole armor of God. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Corinthian church, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, he said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you know, there's a verse that I read, well, it's really a whole chapter, that I read quite often that always gives me strength. And that's the words that are found in the 46th Psalm. And may the people of God never forget this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. No matter what that we're facing, God is our refuge and strength. And I'm telling you, if we really truly put our faith in Him, if we really trust in the Lord for His help, we don't have anything to fear. When we fear, when we are afraid, when we fear, it's that our faith has become weak and we're not really trusting in the Lord the way that we need to, because as the psalmist said there, He is our helper and we don't have to fear. In the 27th Psalm, David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? And so we do have fear, I believe, when we're not close to God, when we're not really trusting in the Lord, then we do fear things, but if we're really hanging on to God, then we have nothing to fear because he will help us. And so Paul said that the reason that he wrote what he did to the Corinthian church about their weapons is the same reason why he wrote to the Ephesian church about their weapons, about the whole armor of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal because we're not fighting a carnal battle. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual because we are fighting a spiritual battle. We are fighting against the very forces of the devil and his wickedness. And so we cannot fight him with carnal weapons. And so the Apostle Paul, he spoke to them concerning what the weapons were. The opponent that we have, the Apostle Paul spoke about a sword, and he spoke about a shield, and he spoke about a helmet, and he spoke about our foot gear in these things, and he detailed the armor and the weapons that we use. You can't fight the devil with a sword of steel. You've got to fight him with the sword of the Spirit. Isn't that the example that Jesus gave us when he was tempted? In the fourth chapter of Matthew, when you read about where the devil took Jesus there into that high mountain to tempt him, the things that he challenged him with, Jesus combated those things with the Word of God. The devil would say, if you're hungry, why don't you command the stones to be made bread? And Jesus said, well, because it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. When he commanded him to just throw himself down from that high place, because it's written that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they will bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil said, well, Jesus, then why don't you just throw yourself down? Because it's written that he'll send the angels to protect you. And the Lord said, but it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And Jesus was so successful. If you read that, he was so successful against the devil with the sword of the Spirit that the Bible says the devil had to leave him. And the angels came and ministered to him. So we don't fight in the war that we're in. We don't fight with a sword of steel. We fight with the sword of the Spirit. We don't wear on our feet. We don't wear combat boots. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Bible didn't tell us that when we fight the good fight that we put on a coat of mail. It told us to wear the breastplate of righteousness and to have our loins girt about with the truth. It didn't tell us to wear a helmet or carry a shield made of brass or some other heavy metal. It said to wear the helmet of salvation and take the shield of faith, which shall be able to protect us from the fiery darts of the wicked. And I'll tell you what, the people of God never win a battle. You can read the history of the army of Israel, and you'll find that there's a pattern there that the armies of God, the children of God, never win a battle unless they put their trust in the Lord. Never. Remember when there in 2 Chronicles 20, the account that is given during the time that Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, and the Moabites were coming against them to battle. And the children of Judah, they realized that they could not win this battle. They realized that they could not match in a physical fight. They realized that they could not match the Moabites and the Ammonites. Jehoshaphat was well aware of that as their king, that they would not be able to stand against these people in a physical battle. And so what did he do? He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah, and they all came together and they began to seek the face of God, and they began to pray for the Lord's help. And there's a statement that's made in that that I believe is very crucial for us. Whenever we are facing battle, whenever we are called upon to make a stand and stand up for what is right, Jehoshaphat was told in that to give the battle to the Lord. These words were used. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. I'll tell you something about the army of God. The army of God has always had the best commander-in-chief that any army could ever have. I mean, we have a God that knows how to win the battle. We have a God that knows how, that is genius in drafting a battle plan. If you go on and read that 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, you'll find out that what the Lord ended up doing there was he just simply sent his people out to stand before them and to sing their songs of praise and to worship the Lord. And God gave them the victory. God set ambushes and he gave them the victory. God knows how to prepare us for the battle. He knows how to prepare the battle plan. And I'll tell you what we need to do, no matter what it is. When we have to make a stand, we need to be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. And if we're not, we'll not be victorious. That's the formula, I believe, that the Lord gave to his church. We need to remember who that we're fighting. I'm going to tell you something as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to tell you what I believe is the biggest problem with many of the elected leaders of our nation right now. I'll tell you what I believe is their biggest problem. They're lost. They're lost. They need the Lord. They need to be saved. They need to repent before God, just like you and I did. They need to turn to him. And we need to always remember that these people that are doing things that are so contrary to the Word of God and to the will of God, that they're under the leadership of the devil. They have fallen into his snare, and they need to be recovered from that. They need to be saved. And when we go and we stand up for what's right, we always need to remember that the gospel needs to be a vital part of this, that people need to be told that they need to repent and turn to God. We're never commanded anywhere to hate people. And I don't believe we do. I believe that we've been accused of it, but I don't believe that's what we do. We are never told to hate people, but I believe that we are taught in the Scriptures to hate sin and to hate the devil, and to stand up against them both, and to put on the whole armor of God and prepare ourselves properly for the battle. And when we have done that, when we have done all to stand, then it's time to stand. Let's remember that God is a God of mercy. Let's remember that God has saved people throughout the years that were doing despicable things. And God saved them, and not only did He save them, but He ended up using them to serve Him. And I'll tell you what, folks, today God can give us victory. And in the middle of all that, He can, by His goodness, He can lead people to repentance. Remember what He did with Saul of Tarsus? Saul was evil. He was evil. He didn't think he was, but he was. You know what? There's many people in the world today. I'll tell you what, it's really sad. There are people in the world today that are doing such evil things, and they are convinced, they have listened to the devil to the point that they don't even believe that what they're doing is even evil. The Bible teaches us that Saul, when he was doing the things he was doing, he thought he was serving God in those things. And he was there when they stoned Stephen. He witnessed that. Read the 7th chapter of Acts and you'll find that he was there. This young man named Saul of Tarsus, he was there. He heard Stephen make his defense. He heard Stephen preach the truth to those people. Well, I'll tell you what, the 7th chapter of Acts, if you haven't read it in a while, read it. What a beautiful sermon that was preached there. What a great exhortation that was given there. Stephen really laid the truth out before those people, and it angered them. It angered them to the point that they took his life from him. But listen, even when they were stoning him to death, what was his prayer to God? Lay not this sin to their charge. God can save anybody, anywhere, anytime, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they've been guilty of. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the 12th in the 12th chapter of Romans, in verse 19, he said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord." Judgment belongs to God, doesn't it? I mean, judgment in this way belongs to God. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And you know what? People need to understand this, that God only tolerates sin for so long. I want you to know something. If you're here today and you're lost, that the Lord is only going to give you so much time to repent of your sins and trust Him and be saved. There's coming a time when God's going to say, no more. No more. No more opportunities. That's it. Well, he did that with Sodom, didn't he? He sure did. What was Abraham's plea because his nephew Lot was there? What was his plea? God, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he said, you know, what if there's 50 righteous people there? And God said, I'll spare the city for their sake. Well, what if there's 40? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? What if there's 10? Well, I'll spare it for their sake. But I'll tell you what, they had gone to the point. They had gone to the point where God brought vengeance upon them and destroyed them. I'll tell you what, I think we need to try to warn everybody. Listen, if your life is about sin, If you want to practice sin, if you want to practice things that are in conflict with the Word of God, things that go against the truth of God's Word, you need to repent of that, and you need to turn to the Lord, and you need to beg Him for forgiveness, and you need to be saved, and you need to realize that if you won't, there's coming a time when God will cut you off. He'll cut you off. We need to sound the trumpet. Are we not responsible to sound the trumpet? Has not God left us here to preach the truth and to sound the trumpet? Did God leave us here just to build a building of four walls and a roof and just promote the truth within these four walls when we're gathered together? No. We are to stand for it wherever we're at. We're responsible to Him to tell the truth, to promote the truth, to stand for the truth. You know, we need a good defense, but we also need offense, don't we? We need to be proactive with the truth. And not be ashamed and not be backwards about it. We're not fighting, folks. We're not fighting against. I realize that there are wicked people, but we're not fighting just against flesh and blood. That's what Paul said. That's not what we're fighting. We're fighting the forces of evil, the spiritual forces of evil. We're fighting the one that's behind all of these evil things, and that's the devil himself. And in order to be victorious, we've got to have on the whole armor of God. We've got to have that to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Apostle Paul, when he gave his testimony before Agrippa, told him about his Damascus Road experience. He said this to him, and I'll close with this. In the 26th chapter of Acts, in verses 16 and 18, I want to summarize those three verses. The Apostle Paul told Agrippa that the Lord had appeared to him for this purpose, to make him a minister and to send him unto the Gentiles. Why? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That was his mission to him. That's still our mission today, to preach the truth, that people might turn from their sins and turn to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, if we don't take the proper stand, then people will never see the need to do that, will they? You know, in my lifetime, when I have seen the need to clean up something in my life, to try to stop doing things my way and do things the right way, you know what's caused that? Somebody willing to rebuke me. Somebody willing to tell me the truth. Somebody willing to tell me, you need to turn away from this and you need to turn to the Lord. That's what the gospel's about, isn't it? Telling people there's a Savior that came and died for your sins. And He died for everybody. Everybody. And that's our sword. The Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's the sword that the Bible says can divide asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I'll tell you what, the truth of God's word can make people really stop in their tracks and think about what they're doing. What it is they're doing. That's the power. I'll tell you what, the sword of the Spirit is more powerful than any sword of steel has ever been. It truly is. So we need to put on the armor, and we need to stand. Stand in the way that God has instructed us to stand. That's my message today. I hope it's been a help to somebody in some way. I'll tell you what, the word that God gave us, no matter how much people defile it, no matter how much people stand against it, there's one thing they'll never do. They'll never destroy it. The truth will never be destroyed. It'll be standing when the world's on fire, and it'll still be truth. God's word is established forever in heaven, and it will always be the truth. The truth may not always be popular. The truth may not always make people happy, but it will always be the truth. Nobody will ever change that. Brother Ernie, let's have a song. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to turn to the Lord. If you're here today and you need strength, if you're here today and you are saved and you need strength, you need to turn to the Lord. He can give you strength. He can give you resolve. He sure can.
Number 228. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where the footprints foiling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead through the cold, dark mountains, seeking His sheep, or alone by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Then at last when on high He sees us, our journey done, we shall rest where the steps of Jesus in at His throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they